Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Each week during the season, Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Hawks football with a look back to the past Saturday's game and a glance ahead to what's coming up. The show is broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End, and you're invited to be part of the action. Now, let's get the latest on the Monmouth Hawks from Matt and Coach Cal.
Lights, TV, power, everything here at Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. It is certainly good to be back on the air talking to Monmouth University football. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, and we are broadcasting live at 1160 and 1310 WOBM AM. And, of course, as always, at shoresportsnetwork.com. What we do each and every Tuesday, short of hurricanes coming through the area like it did last week, is talk Hawk football. We have some guests on. Great show for you tonight as well. Senior offensive lineman Dino Molina will swing by, as will senior defensive lineman Brad Harris and sophomore running back Julian Hayes. Matt Harmon here from Jack's Goal Line Stand. The place is open. All the TVs cranked up. People enjoying some warm food and some cold beverage, something that they have not had in quite a few days. The weather, obviously, has been the story in the area here, the Jersey Shore, and much of the tri-state area. And as I say, good evening to the 20-year head coach, Kevin Callahan, here. Coach, our first segment usually dedicated to talking about last week's game, but there was no game last week for Monmouth, postponed with Central Connecticut State. And certainly much of the discussion was the decision to postpone. Let's take through the thought process of not being able to get that game in.
Well, you know, it was a decision that, we arrived at, and it was a very difficult decision. When we returned home from Duquesne 2 weeks ago, I was advised by the administration to inform all our players that they should leave the area immediately and return to their homes until further notice. And when we got back around 12:30 a.m. on Sunday, we met with the team, we gave them the instructions, and most of them started heading home, if not then early on Sunday morning. We told them we'd check with them again on Tuesday or Wednesday and let them know what the status of that practice week was. When we checked with them on Tuesday, as you know, this area was still certainly a mess. The school was completely without power. The school was turned into a FEMA evacuation center, and many of our players doubted whether or not they would be able to get back here. As we checked with them again on Wednesday, I know there were some issues with gas. There were some issues with many of our guys returning to off-campus residents that were without power, that were in danger with down electrical lines, and so it didn't really look like we'd get them here on Wednesday. We shot for Thursday, but again, we weren't able to get them back into the residence halls. The residence halls didn't have power. Those guys that lived off campus still had the same issues. And even though Central Connecticut was very gracious in their offer to host the game up there on Saturday or possibly even Sunday, and they even tried to find us some hotels up there, which they really weren't able to do, I just felt it was in the best interest of the safety of our players and our coaching staff to not play the game. As I said, it was a decision that, you know, was a very difficult one for me. I know it would certainly keep us in the thick of things in the playoff hunt and possibly the league championship. But when I looked at the safety of our players, the distances they would have to travel, the accommodations that we did not have for them, and the fact that if we did play the game, I would have to put them back in their cars and send them to their homes immediately afterwards. And also, not to mention with our coaching staff, many of whom have small children without power, without heat. I just felt it was in the best interest not to play the game. And as I said, it was a very difficult decision that we had, that I reached.
Well, now that sets up a couple of things, which obviously has made this week a little bit interesting, as Monmouth will take on St. Francis, Pennsylvania on Saturday at Kessler Field. The kickoff is sent for 12 o'clock, probably one of the few weeks last week, knowing that you didn't play against Central Connecticut State, maybe actually rooting for an Albany win to maybe dismiss any chances of a league championship. Now, that didn't take place because Wagner put a pretty good whipping on the Great Danes to now pull into a first-place tie, essentially, with the league. I know there was discussions with the NEC in terms of different scenarios, and there's still a couple weeks left of the season, so many things would have to happen. But if there were multiple teams finishing with two losses, unfortunately, Monmouth right now would be the team on the outside in because of one less win.
The league decided that if they got into a situation where there was a number of teams, including Monmouth, that would all have two losses, that they would then look at the wins, say we were one win short, and really dismiss us from the conversation. I don't completely agree with that. If we end up in a three-way tie and we have two wins and tiebreakers over some of the other teams, I'm considering ourselves champions. You know, I don't care what other people say. I know it's the league's call, and they're going to determine who goes on to postseason play. But, you know, I've got to fight for our guys and the players on our team.
Well, of course, many things have to happen for that to set up, and we'll have some time to go through the league standings during the course of the next now 55 minutes. But let's go back a couple of weeks. Unlike what we've been able to do the last few Tuesdays, I was really looking forward to last Tuesday's show because of the win that Monmouth
right.
had, getting out of a three-game losing streak. A great, really, to me, an exciting game, a win over Duquesne 28-27, in which, boy, it was a back-and-forth game. Monmouth, I thought, came out, great game plan. Duquesne kind of battled, hung around in the game, and the fourth quarter was absolutely wild.
It was a terrific game. And, you know, one of the things that you and I had talked about on other shows, Matt, was, you know, our failure to have started fast in some of our most recent games. And I thought, at Duquesne, we came out and really got off to a fast start on both sides of the ball. Our defense was playing, I thought, exceptional the first half. Offensively, we were moving the ball down the field, scoring points. And I thought we were in great shape at the half. You know, Duquesne's a good team. They battled back. They got themselves in it. You know, we had that, you know, the miscue and with the punt team where we had a low snap that we didn't handle very well and gave them the ball on the 10-yard line, which I felt kind of got them back in it at that point. But I was pleased the way we finished the game. And you know, they had the ball. We had to stop them on four downs when they were going for it. Our defense rose to the occasion and stopped them. And then with the ball in our own hands and Duquesne with timeouts, we're able to run out the clock. And Julian Hayes, who we'll hear from in a little bit later here, was able to pick up a key first down on a 3rd and 18 and was able to pick up 23 yards. And, you know, had we punted there, they might have had probably 20 seconds left of another possession. But I thought we started fast. I thought we finished the game off, which are some of the areas that we've been a little bit critical of the team.
And so let's talk now, obviously, with the week off again last week with Central Connecticut State. How quick is it, or how quick are the players, coaches, able to kind of jump back into it? Because not very often do you have two bye weeks during the course of a season, and then you get this great win. I'm sure you had a great bus ride home. Kids all excited. But then you have to tell them, like, get out of here. I'm not even going to see you maybe for a couple days, and then we don't play a game this week. And I would imagine restarting everything this week could be a bit of a challenge.
It was a challenge. And, you know, like you said, after we got home from Duquesne, I did not see anyone on our team for an entire week, nor did they see any of the coaches. So what we decided to do was bring them in this past Sunday. And we used Sunday and Monday as practices just to kind of get back to playing football again. We didn't address the new opponent. We weren't trying to put in a game plan. We were just going out and playing Monmouth against Monmouth like it was preseason, just to get them back into doing football things again, playing their techniques, hearing the terminology. And I thought we were real successful in that. I also knew that that first day or maybe first 2 days, there was going to be a lot of sharing of stories and experiences that everybody had been through over the last week. And I wanted to get all of that, I don't want to say out of the way, but I wanted to go through all that before we got down to work on St. Francis. So we did that on Sunday and Monday. Today we were out in practice field, a normal Tuesday practice for us, implementing the game plan for the upcoming opponent.
Now the next couple of days could also represent a bit of challenge with more bad weather coming in. Of course, the nor'easter is expected to hit sometime during the course of the day tomorrow. I know you've made some practice accommodations to make sure that things can kind of stay on track a little bit. But boy, right now, I would imagine just keeping focus is a challenge.
It is a challenge. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned to the team after practice today, that we have to continually work on being more focused or refocusing ourselves on playing football. That we can't let these distractions, we can't let this adversity, you know, get us off target and take us off the track of trying to win the football game. And you're right, you know, tomorrow's another day and we could get some more bad weather.
We have made some accommodations to practice off-site in an indoor facility, and hopefully, you know, if we have to do that, we'll still have a great practice and further our preparation for St. Francis.
Now, the good thing, obviously, everyone is back now on campus or back in their places. Now, the bad part of that is I'm sure there still are some players right now that do not have power in their house, so maybe there might be some bunking up going on. Can you share with us any of maybe the stories that you did hear about some of the players over the last couple of days?
Well, I know that, you know, several of them, you know, from the local guys have seen quite a bit of destruction and devastation. You know Mike Murphy from down in Toms River, and who has his grandparents who live over in Seaside. They've got a very difficult situation over there. I know Mike's been with them in each of the last 2 days, trying to get them back onto the island to at least check their place out. They weren't able to go over there. I know they closed it off again today. So that's something that I know was on his mind. Evan Ruane, another local guy who played at Shore Regional, was living in Seabright, had their place really destroyed, and they're living in another place right now. You know, Danny Sullivan from down in Manasquan has watched the Manasquan, you know, oceanfront and beach area and a good portion of the town, actually, you know, go through a very difficult time. And Neil Sterling from Belmar has seen Belmar really been closed down now. And, you know, all the places where he used to play and hang around, as a younger player, some of those places aren't there anymore.
Certainly a very sad couple of weeks going on here around the Jersey Shore. You have always been very community service orientated with the football team, so I would imagine there's been other things that these guys can help and contribute to the area.
They are, and we've tried to mobilize our team to get out and help not only the local communities, but even on the Monmouth campus itself. As a matter of fact, just this morning we had a group of about 15 to 20 guys who volunteer to run basically a day camp for children of Monmouth employees who came back to work today. And, you know, many of the schools and the daycare facilities are not open. So Dr. McNeil, our athletics director, put together a camp, an all-sports day camp on campus that was held in the MAC. And, you know, I know our players were very active in that. And we're looking for other ways where we can get our guys out into the community. We've got something set up for Monday, actually, working with the food bank. And, you know, all of those things are as a result of Hurricane Sandy, and we're just using it. We have a force of 100 people, and we're trying to use them the best we can to help get the communities back on their feet.
Put a check mark, at least, in the good column. Everyone healthy, everyone safe, coaches, players, everyone is now back on campus and getting ready for Saturday against St. Francis, Pennsylvania.
We are. We're all back here. We're, you know, and that was a good thing. Everybody went through some sort of destruction, some sort of damage or devastation, but at least now, at least everybody was physically healthy, their families are physically healthy, and now we're getting work back to school and back to football.
Classes start tomorrow. Monmouth back on the gridiron on Saturday afternoon against St. Francis, Pennsylvania. Game that, as always, you can catch here on 1160, 1310 WOBM AM. That's also this week the league's TV game as well. You can check your local information and local websites for where the game will be shown. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll have our first guest on. That will be Dino Molina, the senior offensive lineman from Maryland. We'll get his take on what this storm has done in terms of preparation and getting smack dab in the middle of the football season. 2 minute timeout. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show right here on the Shore Sports Network.
Need some extra cash for Christmas presents this year? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? Could you use an extra $1,000 for Christmas shopping? If so, turn your radio up. 33cash.com Lenders specializes in lending cash for Christmas with no traditional credit check required. Get approved instantly for a payday loan for Christmas cash discreetly from your computer or smartphone with no paperwork to fax or send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Avoid the wait and hassle of layaway this Christmas. Get up to $1,000 cash and you'll be wrapping your Christmas presents tomorrow. Go to www.33cash.com and you'll be at the mall doing all of your Christmas shopping this evening. And with millions of dollars in to lend, our lenders will not perform a traditional credit check this Christmas shopping season. All you need is a checking account and acceptance is guaranteed, regardless of your credit, for up to $1,000 in Christmas cash. Go to www.33cash.com. Type www.33cash.com directly into the address bar. That's www.33cash.com.
Hi, Hi, this is Judy from Classic Kitchens by Formica Works in Toms River. We all know how time flies, and now that it's fall, the holidays will be here before you know it. So start planning your kitchen or bath renovation today. That's where Classic Kitchens comes in. You see, for over 20 years, we've helped area residents refresh their homes with new kitchen cabinets, reface their old ones, or install beautiful new countertops and vanities. We make the whole process easy and affordable. Besides, just think how you'll impress all your holiday guests.
Fall is a great time to visit Classic Kitchens, where you'll see all the latest styles, designs, and colors, or ask about refacing your existing cabinets. They also manufacture their own Formica countertops and offer Corian and granite, too. Visit Classic Kitchens by Formica Works on Route 37 East in Toms River. Call 732-831-1999 or toll-free 1-800-300-0450 or visit online at classickitchensnj.com.
And remember, let our family take care of your family.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we are back here from Jack's goal line stand in the West End. You probably hear the crowd buzzing behind us. Pretty good night going on here at Jack's as everyone getting back to civilization over the course of the last couple of days. Our first guest on the show tonight is senior offensive lineman Dino Molina, who hails from Maryland. So, Dino, I'll get your perspective on this. I mean, you guys get back to campus on Saturday after Duquesne. You go back home, I would think, right, to Maryland?
Yeah.
What was the storm scene down there, or was there not much of a storm scene down there?
We had a lot of wind, but other than that, it was just another storm, a lot of wind. Whatever they were saying in the news pretty much happened.
not too bad, though.
No, right? I didn't lose any power like a lot of the area up here.
Now, how about when you come back to campus over the course of the last day or so, when you kind of take a look around? I would imagine it's a bit eye-opening for you, right, when you maybe hear some of the stories from some of the other guys who live more local.
Yeah, and then on the trip up to school from my house here on campus, Park Avenue, West Park Avenue, you see all the telephone poles down. So, like, just seeing that, I knew it was pretty bad up here.
So let's go back a couple of weeks, talk about that win against Duquesne, which was obviously a big one for you guys. You get back on the winning side, snap out of a three-game losing streak. And the game kind of cemented away a little bit by the running game in that fourth quarter. You're a big part of that, obviously, playing on the offensive line. Talk about the mindset in between games. You know, I mean, you're smack dab in the middle of a game, and then all of a sudden, you guys really established what was going to happen in that fourth quarter. Not that anything changed. I mean, personnel didn't change. It was more of like man on man, will on will, and you guys got the better of it.
Yeah, we just blocked our assignment, blocked our rule, and once we heard the play on the line, we just wanted to win. Like, it was like Julian's last run, where it was like 3rd and 20 plus, and we just knew we had to get a first down to seal the game, and ran inside right, and Julian just busted up the middle.
Now, I mentioned you're from Maryland, from Damascus High School, which is where Kyle Frazier went to as well. Have you gotten tired of blocking for him? I mean, over the course of the last 8 or 9 years?
Well, the responsibility got a little less because in high school, I was left tackle, so I had to protect his blind side. And over here, I started out left tackle, then right tackle, and then now right guard. So I think Murph, the left tackle now, has a little more responsibility blocking his blind side than I do. But whoever's back there, I'm going to be blocking no matter what.
Coach, talk about that a little bit. I mean, you get Kyle from the same school as Dino, or Dino from the same school as Kyle. I'm not sure if you were you recruiting one and you kind of came across the other, or were you both interested in the two of them at the same time?
No, we actually had interest in both of them at the same time. It wasn't a case where one led us to the other guy. You know, obviously two different positions. Both were positions of need in that recruiting class in that year. You know, we thought, you know, one could help us maybe land the other one, you know, that they could come kind of as a package deal. Certainly they had a familiarity with each other, and we thought that, you know, if one of them liked it, they would also pass on what they liked about Mama to the other one. And I think it kind of worked out that way, where, you know, one liked it a little bit more because they knew the other one was going to be there.
Seems that way.
It's worked, right? I mean, yeah. It's worked. Dino Molina joining us here on the show here tonight, the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Dino, you mentioned you've kind of moved around on the offensive line. You know, you said you came in as a left tackle. You played there, I know, a little bit as a sophomore. Then you played some right tackle. Now you're at right guard predominantly this season. Is it difficult to change positions from year to year?
I think it was a little tougher going from left tackle to right tackle. Right? Switching up the footwork a little bit, but moving from right tackle to right guard, like I also came in into camp freshman year as a right guard, so I still had a familiarity with playing the position. So I went wherever the coaches told me, and it's working well this year. So.
You know, Dino being able to play both sides of the line of scrimmage for us, play the inside position at guard, and also play the outside position at tackle, has really been an asset to the development of our offensive line. Because we can use him in a variety of different ways, allowed us to really put the best group of five players together in the offensive line, knowing that, you know, Dino was kind of our swing guy, so to speak. He's played the left side, he's played the right side, he's played outside, he's played inside. And as we were getting ready for this season, and even back in spring practice, knowing what we were really looking where Brandon Maxwell would best, you know, be able to play and help us out. And we figured that was going to be at the right tackle spot, and then it was almost a natural to make Dino the right guard.
Now, as someone who's a fifth-year senior here, Dino, how much of your time or even, you know, thought process goes into maybe taking some extra time and training some of the younger guys that will replace you moving forward next year?
Well, every day an individual. We have people behind us in the depth. We all take part in our individual during practice. So anytime I see something like that younger guys can improve on, I always point it out and like and give them a little heads up. That way Coach Gabe won't have to keep on repeating himself as well.
How important is it for you guys this week, Dino, after kind of a strange week? I mean, you didn't have a game last week. How difficult has it been to kind of try to get back to a little bit of normalcy and a normal practice routine, but being away from football for basically a whole week?
Well, I don't think it's that hard. We play football. We love to play the game. So anytime we can put on the pads, I think we're happy and we're going to try our best. And when it comes to this weekend, we want to win. We want to finish with a winning record, so we're going to do everything possible to get that W.
Well, two games left, and you win both of them, you would finish with that winning record, and maybe not the season you as a fifth-year senior were looking forward to, but certainly would be something to hang your hat on a little bit after the last couple of years, going out with a winning season, with a winning team, and put a little momentum into the program as someone who graduates.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, appreciate you coming by and giving us a couple minutes. Always good to see you. We'll see you on Saturday afternoon again. In St. Francis, Pennsylvania. That is Dino Molina, senior offensive lineman. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll switch sides. I'm going to find out how good you are. I'm going to ask our next guest. It's Brad Harris, one of our senior defensive linemen. See how many times you guys have matched up and who is better. I'm going to let him have the opportunity to answer that question. But, Dino, thanks a lot for coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dino.
We'll take a quick time out here. We'll make this a two-minute break as well. When we come back, we will talk with Brad Harris, senior defensive lineman for Monmouth. We'll do it after this quick break. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, and it's right here on the Shore Sports Network.
Hi, I am Ocean County Freeholder Jim Lacey. Ocean County will offer residents an opportunity to shred old documents and personal papers safely and securely through its residential document shredding program. Residents can attend any one of the following dates and locations.
Saturday, November 3rd at the Brook Township Recycling Center. Friday, November 9th at the Toms River Township Recycling Center on Church Road. Saturday, November 10th at the Berkeley Township Public Works Garage on Pinewold, Keswick Road. Friday, November 16th at the Lakewood Township Public Works Yard. And Saturday, November 17th at the Manchester Township Public Works Garage. Hours are 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. All events will run the complete schedule time or until the truck is full, whichever occurs first. No registration is required.
This recycling program doesn't just remove clutter from your home. It provides peace of mind.
Visit www.co.ocean.nj.us for more information. Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-752-0193 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-752-0193 to take your call now. Call 877-752-0193. That's 877-752-0193. Again, 877-752-0193.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we are back here on a Tuesday night. Busy show, busy time here around the Jersey Shore. Everything getting cleaned up little by little in the path of Hurricane Sandy. Election day today as well, so much the talk of that. But we're talking football here, and we're talking Monmouth University football. I guess we could start talking Damascus football, right? I mean, we just had Dino on the show. We referenced Kyle Frazier, and now we're bringing on Brad Harris, who is also a proud graduate of that high school, Damascus High School, from down in Maryland. Did you guys all pack into the same car and go home at once? I mean, everyone's going back to that same area, right?
No. This time, we all didn't pack in the same car. I mean, this time, we all drove separate, but I mean, there definitely have been those occasions where all of us are packing the same car, just go home, just see things and catch the same ride.
You could probably make that drive now with your eyes closed, right?
Easily.
Same road, easily. Same turn, same rest stops, every little bit. Well, certainly good to have you on the show tonight. So let's talk about the last couple of days for you, because it's been a wild week here, obviously, at the Jersey Shore. And we can skip, Dino already said, whatever the weather guy said is what happened down by you, so we don't need to get into that too much. But what I will get into with you a little bit is what this week has been for Monmouth football guys, because I would imagine it was difficult not having the regular routine. You know, I mean, everyone would say, well, I wish Coach Cal would give us a day off every once in a while. But last week you had all week off, which after a win against Duquesne, probably not really what you were looking forward to.
Yeah. I mean, coming off a win like that, just getting all of the motivation back into the team and everything, to find out that we have to go home just because of this big storm, was just a pretty big disappointment, because we had really big things planned to just go into the next week and just prepare for the St. Grant, prepare for the Central Connecticut State game. I mean, it was just a very big letdown, but I mean, that is something that we really can't control.
From a player's perspective, how disappointing was it to hear, number one, that you weren't going to be able to play against Central Connecticut State, and the game probably won't be made up, and I'm sure you guys are well aware that the league has said even if everyone finished with two losses, Monmouth is going to be kind of discounted from that conversation.
It's a very big letdown, and especially in our conference, anything can happen, anything can go. I mean, we've seen so many things, and in the past 3 years that I've been here, there's been so many different scenarios that kind of affected us, and this one with the hurricane and all, I mean, that was another one. It was a very big letdown. I mean, all of us were just so amped up to just go out and play and just win out all of our games and just try to contend for that spot.
You know, one of the things that I guess is interesting now, I mean, you almost wish, and Coach, you can pipe in on this as well, you almost wish maybe the league would have waited a little bit to make that announcement, but I guess they had to get it out. From both of your perspectives, we'll start first with you, Brad. I mean, is there any thought of like, hey, what are we even playing for right now? Because we know we can't win a title, or is it, hey, we've got two games left and we can finish with a winning record?
It is just us just going out, just playing with our pride and playing the way we play, and that is Monmouth University football. We are just going to go out every week and just play the best of our ability and just try and win out. Like, now it's very disappointing that we can't go out for that conference championship, but we're in preparation now to just take week by week and just win out and just go out strong. I mean, it is a big disappointment, like I said before, but we aren't going to let that set us back from the way we play.
And certainly very helpful, Coach, to have a guy like Brad and some of the seniors and the older guys that you have to make sure that the younger guys realize, hey, look, you only get to put the pads on so many times. And for a player like Brad, who's got two games left in his career, he wants to make them count.
And I think that can be said for all of our senior players, our older guys on our team. And, you know, we set out this season with a goal in mind of winning the league championship and going to the playoffs. You know, what happened last week and with the Central Connecticut game, that's the circumstances that are beyond our control. And still to be in a tie with for the league championship, other things around the league, again, beyond our control, would have to happen. If those things do happen, there's a number of teams that end up with two losses, then I'm considering ourselves champions. You know, I think we still feel to a player on our team that we're an excellent football team. We have something to prove, and our goal is to go out and prove it in these last two games.
Brad, you know, you're a good guy to ask this because you've seen a lot in your 4 years here. You know, the fan who pays attention to Monmouth football, they go to the Bryant game a couple weeks ago, and they see you guys maybe lose a game that a lot of people thought that you should have won. And then the following week after that, you go out to Duquesne, and maybe a lot of people thought that that should be a game that maybe Monmouth couldn't win, and you do. I mean, how does that happen? You know, how do you lose a game that maybe you're supposed to win and win a game that you're supposed to maybe lose?
I mean, there's tons of things that really go into those factors. I mean, just Brian, I mean, we definitely were going to go out, and we definitely had the mindset of just winning that game. But, I mean, in the game of football, things never go the way you plan, and things never go the way you want them to. I mean, and unfortunately for us, that really just didn't happen that time. But then coming back after that loss and fixing our mistakes, you just come out and just – our team just rallied to just go, just beat Duquesne. I mean, that was our mindset of that week.
You know, one of the things I think you see here, and I tell this with our guys, you know, I tell this to our guys all the time, is that, you know, it's very difficult to win a football game when everything goes the way you hoped it would go or the way you planned. There's so many little things that can change the outcome of a game. And in order to win, you have to do everything right. And I think you have to give credit to the people that you play sometimes, too. You know, they have good players. Everybody in the league has good players. Everybody in our team is well coached. Everybody in our team is trying to win the game. So when you take that field, you've got to make sure that your focus, your concentration, and your execution is right where it needs to be on that day. And if you do that, you give yourself the best chance to win. If you don't do those things, winning becomes very, very difficult no matter who you play.
You know, Brad, we just had Dino on, obviously, and he's a fifth-year guy, so he's been in the program a year longer than you. You're a fourth-year player and a fourth-year senior who will graduate. But you've played every year. You know, anytime Coach has one of the offensive or defensive linemen come on, it's pretty far and few in between that a guy plays four straight years. What was it that got you right onto the field? And Coach can certainly jump in, too. But for you, I mean, you come in as a freshman, and you see playing time right away. That doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah, I mean, me, basically, just as soon as I found out and as soon as I made the decision to come to Monmouth, I started right then and there preparing myself, getting myself ready for that type of level of play. Coming into camp, I was scared. I mean, I was only 18, going up to guys that were 21, older. But I just prepared myself as much as I could. I worked out as much as I could. I paid attention to the defense. I tried to work every day after, just reading the playbook, just understanding everything, understanding our defensive schemes, and just working my technique to the best that I can. And luckily that I did everything that the coaches wanted and saw, and that got me onto the field.
You know, I think as Brad's saying, you know, first of all, Matt, he's a very intelligent player. He picked up things very quickly. And I think physically, he successfully made that transition from being a high school player to being a college football player very quickly as well. And when an athlete does that and they're a hard worker and they have a good football mind and they can pick up on the finer points and the details of things, they are going to get playing time early because they're going to demonstrate that they not only have the ability, but they have the proper mindset and work ethic to get themselves on the field. And that's exactly what happened in Brad's case.
Okay, so before we let you go, I said I was going to give it to you first. Dino's off. He can't even answer this question. We're not bringing him back on. who wins the one-on-one battles between the two of you?
I mean,
we're not voting right now, Dino. You've already had your opportunity to get on.
Dino is a great offensive lineman here. He has been starting for 3 years now, 4 years, 3 or 4 years. I mean, he is the person that I look to go towards on every one-on-one, every rep, because I know that he's going to make me better, and I'm going to make him better. So it's not win or lose. It's basically who can make each other better. That is the way that.
Very political answer here. Very political.
It's election day. You're in the booth. The curtains are closed. Just pick a button, one or the other. I'm better. He's better.
I mean, fair share. Win and losses. I mean, that's probably the most that I can say. I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus.
Has it been fun having, you know, Dino and Kyle around, guys that you know you're from your high school, from your hometown?
Yes, definitely. It's definitely fun. It definitely made the whole transition from high school to college definitely a lot easier, a lot smoother. And it's just good to just know that I've had friends and teammates that I've been on the same team with for 3 years, and now I'm starting a whole nother 4 years to 5 years with them. So it's just like having a whole nother family up here and someone else that I can basically turn towards, I mean, in those kinds of times.
Brad, great to see you. Thanks for swinging by. Good luck on Saturday, this week against St. Francis, and finish out that career with a couple of wins, one against PA and one against Robert Marsh.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
No
great
problem.
Great job, Brad.
Brad Harris, senior defensive lineman from Maryland. We will step out here and take another two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll go back to the offensive side of the ball and talk things over with Julian Hayes, sophomore running back. We'll do that after this two-minute break. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show right here on the Shore Sports Network.